You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Well, hi, everybody. This is Glenn back with you, founder of the Horse Radio Network and host of Horses in the Morning, the daily podcast that's been going for 15 years, one of the longest in the world. Talk about horses every morning, Monday through Friday. Welcome to the WESA Retail Roundup. The Retail Roundup is your go-to virtual hub for all things retail. Join panel discussions, learn from webinars, share your thoughts, ask questions, and connect with your community. We host a virtual event like this one or share educational content every Monday via the Retail Roundup Facebook group. Today's session, I'm excited. I've just met her, and we've been just chatting away here for a half an hour. We're joined by Nicole James of Zona Girl Nava, right? Is that how you say that right?
Hello, okay. You said it correct. That's great. It's an odd name, but it's a unique and favorite one.
Well, Zona was taken Arizona. You're from Arizona.
Arizona girl. I will always claim Arizona.
Even though she lives in Texas now.
I do live in Texas.
She's a boutique brand expert and social media manager. And we're talking today about breaking down the most common social media mistakes that retailers or wholesalers make. And more importantly, how to fix them. So we're going to talk about the boo-boos that we all do. And I do them too. You know, I've run this business for 18 years and I still don't do the things I should be doing. And that's the first topic actually we're going to talk about today is, you know, there are so many of us that are in small businesses that fall into the trap of, I will post on whatever service, mm-hmm. you name it, whenever. And, you know, that's not good, right?
No, it's not. It's really not. It has to be. You have to put a lot, it's a thought process. A lot of people think you got to throw up a post every day at some time. That's kind of like when you're in a photo shoot and you're taking pictures and you're not feeling right and you can see it in the photo. It's the same thing as your post. When you post and there's no thought process to it, you can see it. And those are the ones that don't do well.
So what do you recommend? That they have a plan for a week, 2 weeks, a month out?
Actually, I don't. I've learned this the hard way. And social media has changed so much from when, you know, at first Instagram was first kind of cool and Facebook was cool back then. It's changed a lot. The algorithm changes. But right now, I think 2 weeks max, because things change so much. I feel like I have learned with my clients and with myself, and I schedule out more than that, it's useless. You kind of wasted your time. There's inventory you want to get rid of last minute and you change. A certain holiday, you want to change it up. Some of your posts aren't doing good. And so you need to throw in those engaging posts. So you have to change it up. So that's the kind of stuff that you have to keep in mind. So I would say 2 week max, but nothing after that, because it's going to change and you don't want to waste your time.
How do you get, everything's a habit, right? And my wife and I have a saying that it takes 3 weeks. Anything can become a habit in 3 weeks, right?
Right.
Or you can get used to anything in 3 weeks. But it takes 3 weeks. Change is hard. You know, it takes us 3 weeks to get used to anything. But after 3 weeks, you stop thinking about it anymore. That seems to be the magic number for us anyway. So how can you, you know, without hiring somebody, okay, but they're trying to do it themselves. They're a small retailer. They can't afford it. How do you get it done? How do you make sure you do your social media posts rather than, oh, I haven't done one in 4 days. I should do something, right? That attitude.
Exactly. So unless you're hiring somebody like me, a social media manager, then I do have those clients where we do like a check-in once a month and we kind of regroup and we go through, audit their page, talk about what we need to do. I'll help them with, you know, their plans. What's been working good with them is it's the first thing they do before they start their day, because that has to get checked off no matter what. You have to post at least 4 times a week. If you're not, just the consistency is
that's the magic number. I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
A lot of my clients, we do 5, but I'll give you a little tip. There's really no point to post on the weekends. So that Monday through Friday slot is gold, because everybody's posting on the weekends and it gets shuffled and get lost. Like, I'm out here, I'm doing this, I'm here, blah, 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 blah. It gets lost and people are posting and then dropping their phone and busy living their life. And so whatever you posted, it may or may not get, you know, filtered out. But that Monday through, you know, the Friday is gold, because people at work, they're going to scroll. You're scrolling when you're bored. You scroll when you get home. You're scrolling. You're going to see it eventually. So those are prime days. So Monday through Thursday is like our prime, no matter what, set your alarm. When you wake up in the morning, before you open your emails, you got to post. You got to. Mm. Or I recommend, there's a few programs I recommend actually. I've tested a lot of them out, but I am a big fan of one called Metricool. I use that a lot for my bigger clients. That's a good one. Metricool. Yeah.
Metricool. Okay.
Yes. That's a good one for those that are like, I can't do that. I just need to sit at the beginning of the week, get to, you know, plan out my stuff. I'm not going to be able to remember that. Then I do have my clients where they will set that reminder, or they're like, no matter what, I'm getting in the habit before I open my emails for the day, that post has to go up first. So there is that genre. And then another one is called, it's an older one and I'm okay with it. I can tell sometimes when I use it, I think Instagram doesn't like, or TikTok or anybody doesn't like the scheduling of things. They don't like when you use outsourced programs. So that's why it's better to do a raw, real post in live time. Those ones are actually going to do better than your Metricool or anything you use. Is Hootsuite.
Oh yeah. Hootsuite's been around forever. Started with Twitter, really. Yeah.
I actually don't use it as much. I used it a bunch at the beginning, but again, when I like sit back and, you know, I'll like look back for the last 2 or 3 months, see what posts are doing good, what I need to change up, what's happening. All the time I've noticed when I post raw over the planned post, that, you know, the third party posting, they do so much better. The ones that you post in the moment and you're there and you have it planned out.
And you're saying, and is less than 4 times, does that become, you know, something that's not effective? Or
I think so. Oh my gosh, if you have to at least try to get those 3 posts in a week, if you have to. But if you're not posting, that's not marketing. You're wasting your, I mean, that's free marketing right there that you have, whether you hired somebody or not. Why are you not taking advantage of it? The more they see your name, that becomes brand awareness. And it doesn't matter about the likes and the whatnots. That somebody saw that post, that's brand awareness. Why would you not want to have that out there?
That's true. That is true. So using the program obviously is a way to help, but you're recommending still to do it straight up. And that's straight up on each of the platforms. What have you found in the horse world? Do you think which one works the best? It used to be Facebook was where all the horse people are. And to be honest, our listeners for the Horse Radio Network, Facebook is where they are, you know, right. So that's where we have our social media targeted. Mm-hmm. Instagram some, but Facebook mostly. But in your world, okay, in the Western side, it's a little bit different too. So what's the number one on the Western side?
Well, horse world, TikTok has been a blessing, honestly. TikTok is more giving. People are so awesome on TikTok. Like they're sharing, even if the comment is negative, I mean, your rates are still going up. I mean, it's helping you whatsoever. So TikTok has been a game changer. Mm. I am all about TikTok right now. The reels and everything on Instagram do pretty well as well. But I've been noticing everything we're using, we're kind of utilizing on TikTok as well.
So you would put TikTok at the top?
100% right now. I mean, I know it'll change. Who knows what will go on? Everything's going to change. But right now, the rest of this year, you guys better get on TikTok.
So you were a little freaked out earlier in the year when it was
going away. I was like, I'm not going to start. I'm glad I talked myself into making pages for all the brands I help with. But now it's great. But yeah, I was hesitant at first because Instagram's just been the one we've all been, you know, dealing with for a while.
Well, let's get into a little bit of content. You're also do photography, right? So
yes, well, not myself. I do a lot of the videography, but I have an in-house photographer for my company, my marketing company, but we create the content for them. Like I'm the visioneer of it all and kind of plan out what we're going to do, what kind of content we need. I like to put the videos together. I like to put the content together, but she'll take the photos. Content is important, obviously. It's very
important.
Well,
I was just going to ask about that. You know, it used to be you posted product photos and that's what you posted and that was it. And that's just not it anymore.
No,
you got to do more.
Absolutely not. I highly recommend, especially if you're trying to sell an item, that item either if it's a working item, we need to see how it works with the video. And if it's like a clothing, any kind of item, it needs to be modeled. Definitely.
And then some quippy caption put with it.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. You have to have some witty captions. Try to get away from the sales, sales, salesy. Everybody's over that. Selling this, selling that. Everybody's over it. That's why throughout the week when you're planning your post, I highly recommend if you need help with this, you can Google, ask ChatGPT, whatever you need to do. Try to have some engaging posts in there as well. There needs to be something that is related to your content, but either it could be serious or it could be funny, but it needs to not be so salesy. Even your captions on your t-shirt you're selling, it just needs to not, here's our tea available at the site, small through large. People, it's not eye-catching at all. Everybody's over it. You need to have something unique, fun, sassy, something that's going to be eye-catching.
20 years ago, infomercials were in. They are out now. They're just, nobody wants an infomercial anymore.
Nobody wants to, no one wants to see the salesy stuff anymore.
So what types of non-product content, what you just talked about, should they look at doing? Obviously, it should relate, it should kind of be in your, you know, in your wheelhouse, right? It should be at least in your niche, right? Of what you're, what you're doing. But what have you seen be effective recently?
I think that's where the use of, like, if you want to work with influencers, they come in. They, if you do it right, I mean, they're very important in this industry as well. But also, I mean, you don't need fancy gear. You can, it looks great if you do, but you need to, it needs to be modeled. It needs to be styled. This, I have some clients where say they had some inventory that they couldn't get rid of a few years ago and they're stuck on it, right? And so they just don't know how to sell it. They're still just posting product pictures and they're stuck with it. They don't know what to do. If you are to restyle it on a model, show a different way you can wear it, show new content, new backgrounds, just style it differently, call it a new collection, make it important. I've been seeing that's been magic. I mean, they've been selling old stuff by restyling it, being creative. If they need to ask, you know, if they don't know how to style it themselves, ask what the, ask the age group or the genre that is, you think is going to buy it and how they would style it.
So that leads us to what happens after the post. And I think this is a mistake that we've all made. And that I, you know, if they're, if you're busy and you're just trying to get the posts up, the one thing you're not doing is actually responding to comments and right. to DMs. Mm-hmm. And that's, I'm always impressed when I post on something that I consider cool and they respond. You notice that, right? You in your mind, you notice that. And emotionally, you notice that. And I think by that's an emotional engagement with a customer or a prospective customer that sticks with them. And it's just the little things like answering, you know, even the favorite YouTubers, we all have favorite YouTubers we watch, mm-hmm. right? But when they answer, you can't answer them all depending on how big you are, but when they answer, actually provide answers to the comments or respond to the comments, then right. you notice that.
100%. It's probably the most important part of this entire process of posting is responding back and not just responding back with a few emojis and responding back with, you know, a little short, cool, thumbs up. Engage with them. They want to know who they're buying from. You're potentially became friends with this person. They want to get to know you. They took the time to write a comment. Take the time to, you know, respond back to the DMs, whether it's a question, because that becomes a lead later on. They start to like you. They start, you know what? They're friendly. They're nice. I'm going to start commenting more on their stuff. That's engaging. So make sure whenever you do engage, it's authentic and it's not just a couple words. Make sure you're actually, you know, writing a sentence back, which takes time. I know, but it's a part of the process.
But boy, it's time consuming, Nicole.
It's time consuming.
So it does. It's very time consuming.
It is. That's why a lot of people hire people like me.
but it is the first step to building a community, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a community around your brand. That is the first step to doing that, is developing right. relationships directly with people. We have the advantage in podcasting, or what we're doing here, in that people listen to us, they get to know the hosts. They feel like we're their best friend and we've never met them. Right. You know, it's true too of what you're doing out there, you know, with your store, or with your brand. You're doing the same thing. You're trying to become their best friend, even though you've never met them.
Right. Exactly. That's why it is good to go through. I encourage this a lot with my clients as well. If you're starting to see, you know, new follows coming in, feel free to follow them back. If you don't want to follow them back, go on their page, give them some love too. They just took the time out to follow you. They are engaging in your, you know, your work. Seriously, take the time to comment on their stuff, like a few of their pictures. It's good to engage back. It really is. It's going to be beneficial to you in the end.
Yeah, it will be. And mm-hmm. when we started doing Patreon for Horses in the Morning, the one thing I did is I friended them all on Facebook when they would become a Patreon supporter. Awesome. And so now I have like 600 of them on there. But I see all their birthdays. I see all of their posts. Right. They've generated great content for our shows. And these are people that are paying to support us. And now we've built a community around that they're all friends with each other. They have their own meetups. And that kind of thing can happen on a brand level as well.
Right. 100%. It's super important, because why would you not want those leads as well? They become your friends and you do become a community. Just like at Wessa, I mean, there's either the other brand owners, everybody just starts to collab together, mix ideas together. We've done so many things where we've collabed with different owners, business owners. I mean, it just turns into one big family and everybody helps each other out. It's nice.
It is. So habits, again, to answer DMs and answer all the DMs for sure. You know, comments, you might not get to all of them, but, you know, give it a try. But that has to become a habit too.
Yes, that does. A lot of them will do that at the end of their workday. So necessarily just wait for that feed or that post to, you know, accumulate. And then at the end, so then you're answering it for the next day as well. But that's whenever I do mine, and that's when a lot of my clients do theirs. It's at the end of their workday when you're about to close up, go through and answer as many as you can.
You talked about not being an infomercial, but yet you still want to sell stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the idea. So I think there is a way to do both, but it's tricky. You know, it's tricky. Actually, the Super Bowl commercials were a good example this year, because most of those commercials, you didn't know what the product they were selling till right. the end. I mean, they were all very, very folksy, you know, tell a story commercials until the very end where they'd get the product in. But that was a real change for the Super Bowl commercials this year, and obviously goes along with what you're saying, a change in attitude and mentality of marketing mm-hmm. right now.
Yes, that's where those engaging posts come in. That's where you're every now and then sprinkle a little bit about you, a little bit about to know yous, what you're doing. Those don't hurt at all. People want to know who they're buying from. I mean, who is the stranger? Are you a corporation, you know, that I'm buying from? Or are you this small business owner, you know, trying to show everybody your stuff? They want to get to know you. So that is why it is important in your stories every now and then. I know it can feel uncomfortable when you start to do it at first. You don't have to show your face if you don't want. Just show a little about your life, your horses, your cattle, anything. People love that. They want to get to know the real you. That's where those engaging posts I was talking about come in with the, if you want to do something serious or funny, then they get to know your personality. And they're like, they think that's funny. I think that's funny. We have the same sense of humor. That's where those posts come in. And they are extremely important. Those have to go in at least, I would say, once a week. But if you're sprinkling in more, that's great.
It's also what separates you as a small to medium-sized business owner mm-hmm. from Amazon and from Chewy, is that there 100%. Is, you said, don't show your face. I say, do show your face.
Oh, because, okay. Yeah, okay. There's some who just get nervous. Some of them, yeah, like myself.
I agree.
Who, but they're seeing me all
you're the one they're seeing in the store.
Mm-hmm.
So you're the one they're going to relate to when they come into the store. It's right. also why I also agree with you about highlighting even your employees. When if they go out and do a show yes. over the weekend and win a blue ribbon, highlight your employees. Because again, they're the ones that are going to be seen in the store. You know, right. we always, you know, I always say that every company has a voice and you have to be careful who that voice is. And mm-hmm. in a case of a small to medium sized company, you should be the voice.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And the face, you know, that goes mm-hmm. along with it now with video.
Yes, yeah. 100%. The store owners who are doing road shows or they're setting up at rodeos or horse events, a lot of them are saying, you know, we don't know what to show. There's so much to show. You have so much content. Show your road trip getting there. Show you loading up your stuff. Show your booth setup. We want to know what's going on. We want to know that you're a real person and what you're, I mean, I know you're selling items, but they want to see your progress, your process. People will watch and people will, oh, I like what they did. Or that's funny that they ate that. I like that too. Or, oh, they're talking to this person. I mean, you just show your life a little bit as well.
Perfect example of that is YouTubers do that very well, better mm-hmm. than we do. And, you know, there are YouTubers out there that basically just show their daily lives and have millions of followers.
Right.
And they're making a fortune on YouTube just by yes. living their life and showing it. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. Because people relate to that. They relate mm-hmm. to everything that YouTuber, or in this case, the brand that's the manager who's driving the 40-foot trailer to bring the right. stuff to the rodeo and it breaks down on the way and they yes. have to get a tote. All of that's content.
Yes. Everything is content.
Because we can relate to it.
Yes. 100%.
I think that's what I always think about is, you know, we may do a segment on one of our shows that we go, oh, I don't know if that really worked. And then I always rethink it and go, but can people relate to it? And right. then I think, yeah, okay, they can relate to that. They're going to like that segment. And then
right.
and then our focus group comes back and says, that was a really great segment, even though we thought it was mediocre.
Right. And you'll find your people. You'll find your family.
Surprised. Have you been surprised at posts you've done and you went, oh my God, I didn't think that was going to work?
Most of the time. I'm a little out there. I get risky on some of them because I feel like I have a crazy sense of humor. And I'm like, okay, cool. I found my people. They like it. They're engaging. It's getting all these shares. So they have the same sense of humor as me. There's my people. I found a new family.
Another thing that takes time. I think we're just talking about all the stuff that takes so much time today. is tracking the metrics.
Yes. Yes. Another, you have to do this too. Another have to check off the list.
So talk about
this
that.
This one you don't have to do daily though. This one is something that it's good to kind of check at the end of the week, or how I said that 2 week thing, the 2 week planning. I work a lot with my clients on that. The 2 week marker, check back in, reschedule your post when you write them out, when you plan what you're going to post each day, whether that's going to be a live post or using, you know, another program, that 2 week marker. So at least you're checking twice a month, what's going on with your analytics. Need to check your engagement rate for sure. Check your analytics, kind of go down the little roster. They make it easy for you on Instagram and on, well, everything, Facebook with Meta, they kind of lay it out for you. So just kind of see who's seeing what. It'll show you, you know, the genders, it'll show you the age range. I mean, it shows you everything. It breaks it down. And regroup and see what you need to do, what you need to change. If something's working for you, you know, then let's keep with that, post more of that and see which content you need to kind of get out of there that's not working for you.
Yeah. And but on a post by post basis, you know, take a look at the individual
each
posts.
One. Yeah. Yes.
Now, yeah. That's not always entirely accurate because, you know, you may have had a post that you went, oh, that did very well and the topic was this, but it may have been boosted, you know, it may have been thrown into the algorithm.
Oh, the boost. Boost and ads. I'm just not a fan of.
Yeah.
I love organic.
I was gonna ask you about that. And we're talking about paid boosting of the ads, either on Facebook or Instagram, wherever. Yeah. And you're not?
I'm not a fan. I'm really not. I feel like it's almost going to bite you later on when you do that. I mean, the pain, you start to get kind of in the cycle and then you have to keep shelling out your money for all of it. I don't want any of my clients or anybody out there to think that that is something they have to do. If you want to take this serious and start your social media journey and with your brand or your business, I wouldn't recommend doing that right away. I really don't. people want to see you again because it shows when it's a sponsored ad, it shows it's showing other people that you paid for that ad. And I just feel like that's not beneficial. And I have noticed with the clients that do those, their rates aren't really as great as the ones who are doing the more organic, showing their flaws, the more real posts. They may not have as many followers, but in the end, that doesn't matter. The follower does not matter. It's how your posts are doing each post individually, the engagement on each one, and those convert into sales over your thousands of followers who are you kind of just boosted, sponsored. They're, I mean, it's not converting at all. So I'm just not a fan of that.
So the ROI on those is not up to snuff?
Not recently. I've noticed it's not that great.
Yeah, I think, again, that's one of those things I think 10 years ago did much better than it's doing now.
Yes, yeah. There was a time for sure.
Yeah, I think everything's cyclical, right? And that's one of the things that's kind of cycled out.
Right, because we see that sponsored, we see another salesy tactic, sales. I mean, we're over it.
So what? When you take a look at your stats, we'll get off of this topic in a minute. But when you take a look at your stats, what are the two or three most important things you're looking at?
Your engagement rate for sure. The views
per post.
Yep. The views, you want to see that as well.
Does the
views
TikTok show the length of engagement? Like YouTube does.
Yes, it does. Okay. TikTok does show it on your videos.
And that's so important too, right?
Very, very important when you're doing your videos. And I believe sometimes on post as well, because it's like a video kind of on your TikTok. Mm-hmm. So even if you show like three pictures, which is really important to do as well, they like to do the video post on TikTok, the carousel ones, because people will swipe those and that's making them stay on your, you know, it's giving you a time and they're staying on there. It's kind of a little cheat process as well.
So I guess what other things do you see that are something that they should be taking a look at?
On their analytics?
Or on their social media in general, just in general?
I mean, I just think that still the views, those are the most important ones that I look at. And that is where you need to be the time, your views, and your engagement for sure. Your engagement rate is probably the most important one.
So I think the bottom line today is make all of this a habit. It's got to become a habit.
Yes,
if you're not hiring it out, it's got to become a habit.
100%. It has to. This is all very important for your business in this world, whether you like it or not.
It's not going away.
It's not going to go away. It's actually getting bigger. It's actually sometimes more important than focusing. A lot of people are like, well, my website or this. I mean, they're going to look at that first before they go to your website. So it's definitely the most important aspect of your business is social media right now.
So you do something else at WESA, and people might have seen you as a result of that. Well, first, tell us a little bit about your marketing business. Give us a plug for that.
Yeah. So it's called Zoner Girl Nava Marketing. I have done marketing my whole life with country clubs is how I started. I was a marketing director for many country clubs. And then the members there kind of turned into clients with their businesses. And then I'm sure you guys have met one of the lovely ladies called Allie D. She's the one that kind of got me into the world, Allie D brand. I was like a rep for her for a bit. And then I started doing her social media, still to this day do, and her men's brand Rodeo Ranch. And then it kind of cycled into that, met many brands, boutiques I met by selling. And then it just turned into where it's like, you know what? I'm going to start my own business. Goodbye, country club world. So I am immersed fully into Western brand and boutique businesses with social media. We create
content. And that's retailers, wholesalers, manufacturers.
Everything. I have seen both sides. I know the ins and outs. I mean, for over 12 years now, I've been doing all of this. So I know that world. And then I also own another company called Western Life and Style. We have a showroom on the 7th floor, the cash and carry floor. If you don't know what cash and carry is, it's a good way. It's open every single market at Dallas Market, especially during WESA. It's great. everybody kind of goes there, and it's a place where there's really no minimums. You can test out different brands. You can test them out, see what's new.
So I can buy one or five.
You can buy
10.
One. Yes, yeah. Exactly. There is order writing as well. So if you see a new brand there, it's a good way to order write if you want to get out of the craziness. And we have.
But I can take it home too.
You can take it home with you. People will come in with like suitcases and fill up their stuff for shows that they have going on. So we're open every single market and every single Monday and Friday throughout the entire year. Wow. So that's been really fun as well. Meeting
and
more boutique
brands?
Owners. We have over 25 brands in there. We've got to expand 5 times in 3 years. So that's really exciting.
Oh, wow.
I don't think we're putting pause on that. No more expansions for a while. Again, we carry everything from sunglasses, candles, t-shirts, boots, keychains, everything that your store, gifts, items, a lot of new brands. It's a good way for you to see, you know, stationaries, everything in the Western world.
Wow. Was it your idea to do the cash and carry?
Mine and Allie. So Allie D and I own that together. So we both have been focusing on that. Yes.
That's a really good idea, actually. It's a really good idea. I know I used to go to Ada for years and years and years up in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And some of the booths did cash and carry and some didn't. Having a place where you can actually go to that's for that purpose is great.
Right. Right.
And stocked.
Right. And you're testing it out as well. A lot. It's great to see the return rate on that. So they test it out. And then we always see them coming back. Okay, we like our buyers liked this or we like this. And it's a good way for them to get to know new brands as well.
Good. Good on you. And you have a life outside of all of this?
I have my 2 babies who are my world and my husband. And my 2 babies are my life, Ryder and Rylan.
You can't have time for horses after all of this.
Oh, that's for my husband.
Okay.
He can do with that.
Okay. He deals with the horse.
He deals with the cattle and the horses. He can do that.
Okay. There you go. I like that. Where can people find you? Just is that the best place? The website down below?
Yes. Or at Zona Girl Nava. Same thing on Instagram or any social media. It's at Zona Girl Nava.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in August.
Yes, I'm excited to meet you in person. You come in the showroom and I'll jibber jabber away.
Okay, we'll do that. I love this. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And thank you to you for joining us today to the Wes's Retail Roundup. If you missed part of this, you can catch it all on the podcast. Is a great place, Wisdom by Wessa, on the podcast player. You can listen to it while you're driving or feeding the cows, one or the other, or riding your horse. Also, you can find it at the Wessa Trade Show YouTube channel. You can search that out. And also at Wessa's website at wessatradeshow.com. And don't forget to search for Retail Roundup on Facebook. Join the Facebook group. That's where the conversations are happening. And that's people like you, you know, that are having the same issues you are, where you can have conversations about all of this stuff. The next Retail Roundup will be on Monday the 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure to sign up and to catch it. You can go to Retail Roundup Facebook group for all the details on that. You can find me at horsesinthemorning.com, any podcast player. Just search for Horses in the Morning. We're at almost 4,000 episodes, so you have a little catching up to do. We figured it out the other day. If you listen to all of our past episodes, 24 hours a day, it would take you almost a year to listen to all the episodes. So good luck with that. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it.